Try that again. Good evening. It's my pleasure to welcome you this evening on this Christmas Eve as we have passed the four Sundays in the Advent season, and now we have lit the Christ candle, and we look forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ afresh and anew as we celebrate Christmas Day. So we're glad you're here this night. And also, if you're visiting, perhaps you have family and friends in from out of town, we're delighted to have you with us as well as we celebrate and prepare for Christmas Day tomorrow with this special candlelight service. I would invite you to make sure that you have two things. Number one, a bulletin so you can follow along with the readings as well as the hymns. We're going to sing several hymns tonight as we celebrate the Christmas season. But also to have a candle in hand. Does anybody not have a candle? Okay. Yes, we have candles down here for those who will be singing in our ensemble. Make sure that you have a candle when you come in, and if you don't have one, just raise your hand right now. We'll make sure that you get one, because toward the end of the service, we will light our candles from the center aisle going out each side, and we will sing Silent Night together as we close out our service. So again, we're glad you're here to celebrate with us, and you'll notice inside of your bulletin, we will have the call to worship, and then I'll pray. And then I'll ask you to prepare your heads and hearts for worship as the prelude is played for us. This is a worship service. We're here to worship our great triune God and exalt Jesus Christ. And so we're going to listen to the prelude, and then we'll move right into the Christmas story in four parts as we read the sacred scriptures, as we listen to music, and as the choir sings a very special selection for us this night. Let's do our call to worship now. It came upon a midnight clear. And when the fullness of time came forth, Mary gave birth to the Messiah. The little Lord Jesus had no crib for a bed. The God of the world was born in a stall. And yet this baby born in a manger will save us all. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this Christmas Eve. We ask now that you would help us to pause from all the busyness, the shopping, all the activities associated with the season. Lord, help us by your Holy Spirit to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, bless our feeble efforts. Magnify them for your honor and glory. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. First reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, the Annunciation to Mary. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, the town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Let us stand together and sing 196, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus."
Thank you.
Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own hometown to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. When they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Let's continue our worship with singing of 201, O Little Town of Bethlehem, the first three verses, hymn number 201.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Let's join together in the singing of 207, Good Christian Men Rejoice. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. Earth and heaven before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He hath opened heaven's door, and man is blessed evermore. Christ is born for this. Christ was born. Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting goal. Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save.
Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Thank you.
Let us continue our worship in the singing of hymn 213, What Child Is This? 213.
Light our candles and sing Silent Night and close out our service. I want to reflect just for a few moments on one of the passages of Scripture that we read this evening, and that is the last passage of Scripture, one of my favorites at the Christmas time, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, the visitation of the Magi, or the wise men, as we call them. Apparently, there were those far away in the east came looking for the baby Jesus, to worship him, to give him gifts. I want to just reflect on that a few moments before we sing tonight. Think about the simplicity of Christmas. There's one thing that the story of the Magi and their visit to the baby Jesus communicates. I believe it is the simplicity of all that Christmas is. There are three things I want you to think about tonight. Christmas is a time, first of all, to seek, a time to seek after God. After all, that's exactly what the Magi are doing. In fact, they're seeking with all their might. They've come, some scholars believe, about a distance of at least 1,000 miles away from eastern countries. We don't really know the definite location where they came from, but we do know that they came from far away. The Bible says to seek after God. Too often, I think we in the United States have a tendency to sit still and wait for God to do something for us, to wait for God to visit us, to wait for God to make something happen for us. But the Bible says, while God is sovereign and God acts, He commands us to seek. Jeremiah 29, the Bible says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Hebrews 11:6, the writer says, "God rewards those who diligently seek him." And Jesus himself said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you." Say, "John, what's the point?" Well, the point is this. These wise men are seeking after the baby Jesus. Their location is far away. Their occupation is foreign. These men are basically astrologers and astronomers. Something that was condemned in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 18. These guys are about as far away culturally, religiously, and geographically as anyone could be, and yet they're seeking after Jesus Christ. And the point is, if somebody could be that far away, that distant, that non-Jewish, that foreign, and come looking for Jesus, then how much more should we at Christmas time? Christmas time is a time to seek. Seek the face of God. Ask God to make himself real to you, regardless of where you may be at, in terms of where you live, in terms of how you live, no matter how far away from God you may be. Seek Christ. It's also a time, secondly, to worship. You'll notice the wise men came. They asked for directions. They sought out from Herod where the baby Jesus was. They weren't embarrassed to ask for directions, these three men. They were not going to let any obstacle get in their way to find the Lord Jesus. But when they found him, they worshiped him. This is clearly the intent in verse 2. When they came to Herod, they said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." And so the Magi wanted not only to seek after Christ, but when they found him, it's very clear they were filled with joy and they worshiped him. They worshiped him. There's something that struck me this afternoon about this passage, and that is it contains the simplicity and the essence of worship. Worship takes place when Jesus Christ is present and when the worshiper is willing and cooperating to meet with God. You'll notice it takes place in a house. You'll notice there is no organ, no piano. There's not even a preacher present. There's no choir. There's no music. But the wise men are overjoyed because they found Jesus. And they found him in order to bow the knee before him and worship him. I don't mean to suggest that we eliminate all the elements or the accoutrements of public worship. But often we can get so hung up in all the circumstances and items surrounding worship that we end up not worshiping. You ever notice that? I've talked to people before, "How did you worship at this particular church or that particular church?" The first thing out of their mouth, "The music was not to my taste," or "The sermon was dull," or "The people were not friendly," or "The sanctuary was too hot," or "The sanctuary was too cold." All these things come up about what hindered their worship. When I was planning a church in New Orleans, a man came up one day and said, "This coffee is hot." I didn't know what else to tell him. That's the way coffee is. It's hot. And too often things get in the way of worship. And we gather together and we seek Christ's face. We bow the knee. And so my point is not to get rid of any of those things. I like music and worship. I like choirs. I like strings and brass and beautiful colors. But I don't ever want those elements, those accoutrements of worship to get in the way of what true worship really is. And see, worship is the presence of Jesus here in this mean, nasty place where he's laid, in this house from a cattle stall, as these wise men worship. All that is necessary for true biblical worship to take place is the presence of Jesus and the willingness of the worshiper. Now that begs the question. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be present. So, ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that really hinders or obstructs genuine biblical worship is us. It's us. If I'm not meeting with a living God, it's not because he's absent. The presence of Jesus is a fact and a reality. It's a given. But the question is, am I willing? Am I willing to seek his face? Am I willing to come clean in front of him? Am I willing to say, Lord, let me lay aside anything that gets in the way, anything, anyone, that I might worship you, that I might discover who you are and experience you? You know, the Bible says that that's the one thing the Lord Jesus seeks. In John chapter 4, Jesus talked about worship. He said, those that worship the Father must worship in spirit and in truth, for those are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. And so he commands us to seek his face so that we might worship him in settings like this, but in settings wherever you're at right now when you leave this place. Wherever your life is, it may be tattered and torn up. You may be far away from God. But he tells us to stop and recognize the presence of Jesus. And just like these wise men, be willing to bow the knee right where you're at and begin to worship. Christmas is a time to seek. It's a time to worship. Bow the knee before Christ. It's also a time to give. Giving was inextricably bound to the wise men in their worship. You'll notice they gave gifts to the baby Jesus: gold, incense, and myrrh. Their giving wasn't careless, wasn't haphazard. You know how it is sometimes. We give gifts, often that have been given to us. If you don't have time to run out to the store and get a gift, you may pull something out of the closet that somebody gave you a while back and wrap it up and give it to someone else. The tragedy is when that gift comes back around to haunt you, and somebody learns that it's already been given away and they gave it to you. Now you're in trouble. That was not the kind of gifts these men gave. The Bible says they were overjoyed, they worshiped, and then they gave gold, incense, and myrrh. We can only guess why, but gold was a symbol of royalty. All through the Bible, you'll find that people who were kings and monarchs wore gold chains and gold crowns. Incense is bound to worship. All the way through the Old Testament and on into the New Testament, even the book of Revelation, you see over and over again that incense is always associated with the worship of God. Myrrh. Myrrh was used as a sort of perfume. It symbolized humanity. One of the scholars has said that myrrh made life more pleasant and death less repulsive. Myrrh is what was used to anoint a body before it was buried. And so in these three gifts given to the Lord Jesus, gold, incense, and myrrh, they recognized his royalty, that he was a king. They recognized his deity, that he was God. And they recognized his humanity, that he could identify with us. And folks, that presupposes a relationship. Christmas is a time to seek. It's a time to worship. It's a time to give. Time to give. You know, giving and receiving is fun and enjoyable at Christmas time. We give gifts. We receive gifts. But don't allow the gifts to obscure the essence of giving. The gifts from the Magi presuppose the gift of eternal life offered through the Lord Jesus. You notice the progression? The wise men followed the star. They found the baby Jesus. They worshiped him, and they gave their gifts. Too often we do it in reverse. We can focus on the gifts, and then secondly, worship, and then finally, we move to a time of seeking. That's not the way it happened. These gifts had meaning and significance, because these men knew who this person was. So when you give gifts this Christmas, whether tonight or tomorrow, remember that the ultimate gift is the gift of the Lord Jesus to us. And that is the gift of eternal life. We give back to Him our lives, our hearts. It's kind of what the famous poet Lowell said, "Not what we give, but what we share, for the gift without the giver is bare." It means something when we give with significance. And you see, all the gifts and all the tinsel and all the wrapping and all the shopping can obscure the true gift of Christmas. And that is, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the main giving should not necessarily be to one another, but giving our lives back to Jesus, just like these wise men exemplified in the gifts that they gave. Those gifts had a sense of knowledge about the Lord Jesus. It all boils down to the fact that there's a time to seek, a time to worship, and a time to give. And if these wise men, who were astrologers, who were from the East, who came from 1,000 miles away, who didn't have a Jewish background, who didn't have any connection whatsoever, who asked a pagan king, Herod, as they risked their own neck to try to find Jesus, if they could seek and worship and give to Jesus, then it begs the question, how much more should we? If you don't know the Lord tonight, seek Him. If you know Him and perhaps you're far away, bow the knee wherever you're at. Don't wait for a worship service. Start worshiping Him. Cooperate. And give Him your life. You don't have to have gold or frankincense or myrrh. Give Him yourself. Say, Jesus, I trust You. I want to experience Christmas as the wise men did, by giving my life to You in light of what You've given to me in the gift of eternal life. Let's pray together, and Danny's going to come up and give us some instructions, and we'll stand and sing in just a few moments. But let's pause for a minute and pray. Father, we thank You that we can gather together in a setting like this, worship You, seek You, give to You. Father, I would pray tonight that all of us could experience Christmas, and that, Lord, in the silence of the moment, if we don't know You, that You would remind us that You're present, that You call us, You're waiting to meet with us. Help us to cooperate. Help us to be willing. And Father, if we don't know You, we're far away from You, even like these magi were, that, Lord, You would draw our hearts, that You would remind us that the only reason we seek You is because You sought us first. So, Lord, draw us. Woo us. If we don't know You, let us enjoy our first Christmas because Jesus is Lord. Father, make it so in every one of our hearts. We'll give You praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our hymnals and turn to Silent Night, number 210. And let's stand together, and we're going to have those come forward to light the candles at the front. Again, if you'll have your candle ready, just light it and then turn to the person on your left or your right and light the candles and go forward from there. Danny?
We'll be singing it a cappella tonight. Let me encourage you to take your hymn book, hymn number 210, as we sing together.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Oh, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face. With the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Receive now the benediction of our Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the star. We thank you for all that the wise men sought and found. Pray that every one of us would find that this Christmas season. Now, Lord, bless us as we go to our homes. Give us traveling mercies. Help us to enjoy the night and look forward to the morn. Now receive the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.